ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to say about this episode. It's going to be a good one. But first and foremost, welcome to the Nerd Badge Podcast, episode 14.
Oh, my God.
And today we have a very special guest. But first, before we get to our guest, I got to talk about something very, very, very special. Ladies and gentlemen, I did it. I want you to get a shot of the table right now. Look, get a shot table. Look at this right now. Now, I know most of you idiots out there, you're probably watching this going like, wow, Stephen Person, what's going on? I can't count. That's okay. I'm here to help. One, two, three, four, five. I won the SWA Adrenaline Television Championship last weekend. Give it up for me. Thank you, ladies. And if you're watching this right now, listening to this right now, if you're watching our clips on TikTok and YouTube and all this other stuff, ladies and gentlemen, celebrate me. I am the most winning champion in this entire Northeast region. Five different championships. Yeah, I can't be touched. I'm the best wrestler on the Northeast. It's that simple. I'm not saying it. This is saying it for me. Look at this. I went out in front of hundreds of people, and I won this bad boy, and I beat Santara Fury just like I said I would because I am the better wrestler. I am the one. I manipulated everything for over a year. Do you understand this? For over a year, I've been practicing. I've been plotting. I've been just getting ready to ruin everything. Like I said, I was going to ruin his life, and I took everything. I took his manhood. I took his pride. I took his title. And now I am the SWA Adrenaline Television Champion because I am the best wrestler out of both of us. The team split, and I proved it. By hook or crook, I may have done some illegal things, but all I'm saying is that I won, and this is mine. It's part of the whole entire collection, my personal collection of championships, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope you hate every single second that I'm smiling. I hope every single one of you lose sleep over this, punching your walls, putting holes in them, yelling at your shampoo and conditioner bottles in the shower, telling me how much I suck, and then I'm crying. Yeah, make that little fantasy of yours come true in your own head, because in reality, this is where I run. This is what I do. I out-wrestle people. I put on better shows than people, and nobody can stop me. Unstoppable, plain and simple. Speaking of wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, this fine weekend, HNN Wrestling in good old Long Island is going to be returning, and me and my good friend Bobby C are going to be connecting as men of distinction, men of honor, men of pro wrestling skills, and how should I say it's better, the best way possible. We are the best tag team in the world that has never competed with each other, and we're going to show everybody that this Saturday night. HNN Wrestling. Show up. It's going to be great at the Remarkable Pro Wrestling Arena. It's going to be a great time. Also, next weekend, the 20th, Wrestling Recovery in the New Jersey College. It's going to be me putting one of these bad boys on the line when I defend against somebody who's going to be unknown to me, actually. It's kind of fun. I made the challenge. Whoever's going to show up, walk through that curtain, you'll find out the same time that I do. Also, a really great show that's going to be happening here in Long Island, if you're going to be around, at the NYWC Sportatorium, KBP Pro Wrestling. It's going to be a great show. They've been running great shows out of that arena, and if you're not in New Jersey, you need to be your ass in Long Island, and definitely support. It's going to be a great time. The flyer's here somewhere, you know. also, on the 20th, if you're not in Long Island and you're not in New Jersey, you should be at the Queen's Elks Lodge for CCW. They're coming back, doing a great show. I cannot be there. I always support a great company like them. They've always given me a place to shine. Get your tickets. It's going to be a great show. The great lineup is going to be, again, right here with your nice little happy little poster right there. And then the following week, once again, Wrestling and Recovery. We deal with people who are dealing with addiction problems and everything. We're going to be in New Jersey again, September 27th. And I'm not too sure the exact location, but again, it's right here because I have the flyer. It's going to be a great time. So if you're in the New Jersey area or Long Island or Queens, the next couple of weekends, swing by. It's going to be a great time. So today, as we're going to do our run through, first, my wife, my ride or die. So because I feel like she's going to like just beat me with a stick sometimes until I die. She is.
Who says I haven't already?
I know, right? She is the person that I can honestly say is the best thing that's going for me in the world. We are celebrating our 8th anniversary on this weekend, which is actually kind of cool. Good for you. I like that for you. ladies and gentlemen, my wife, Gabrielle Quinn.
Thank you, thank you.
Formerly known as Gabrielle Segarra. Fix that.
Yep, it's fixed. It's fixed. Legally.
Yes. And then to her right, an activist, a pet lover, someone who works with animals, strays, and a whole wide array of people that need help with animals. They come to her and her organization. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Taryn.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. it's a great thing. I've been over trying to have you on the last one. We couldn't get you in time. That was our fault. We really appreciate everything that you do here. As you know, we're both, you know, animal lovers and owners. So we have an affinity. Yeah, we have an affinity for people who like to come by and help us. Taryn's actually helped us out a lot.
Yes,
like,
she has.
She's actually come to our house and helped spay and neuter cats that live in our backyard that we take care of.
Yep,
yeah. We can get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Right, which I definitely want to get down to the road. Yeah. So I'm going to let her run down the whole entire list of things that she does because I know them, but as we know, me and names and exact titles do not go well. So Taryn, take it away.
I am a volunteer for Victory for the Voiceless Animal Rescue here on Staten Island, New York. I also do help other rescuers. There are a bunch of independent rescuers who do what I do. There are many, many organizations, you know, just like us that do the same. So if anyone needs help, we help, you know, I'll help anybody. You know, there's multiple organizations that I'll trap for and, you know, transport for and assist anything they need with. So we're a huge network of people, but we're unfortunately still not enough for the crisis that's happening here on Staten Island. So my specialty is working with feral cats. Mm-hmm. That's my specialty. So I still dabble in everything, you know, because the rescue field is huge. You could fundraise. You could just transport. You could trap like I do. You could just foster. You could just maybe manage a rescue social media. I mean, there's so many parts, moving parts that go into this and saving lives that, I mean, you know, I dabble in every department, but you don't have to. I mean, you could just do one thing and it's still a massive, massive help. Mm-hmm. So
every little bit helps these days.
It sure does. So. It sure does. Yeah.
So I know we were at the big town hall meeting a couple weeks ago. Tell me about that. How was that?
That was eye-opening, I think, for everyone involved. I think for the audience and definitely for myself. So that meeting was put together very, very last minute. I actually got thrown on the panel the day before. And I was begging. I found out that the meeting was happening a few days prior, and I was begging, like begging anyone that I can reach out to who was involved in this meeting. Like, please get me on that panel because people know what, like, hey, yeah, rescuing animals. Yeah, yeah, we know what that is. But no one knows what TNR is.
No. And you don't know until you actually deal with a rescuer.
Yes.
Because I had an idea, but I didn't really know what you do until I actually, like, spent a day, a couple hours with us last week, one day. And the amount of things that you take care of and that you have to worry about, it's too much for one person to deal with. So you definitely could use the help.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, TNR stands for trap, neuter, release. Sometimes people say trap, neuter, return, of feral cats. So what's a feral cat? A feral cat is a cat that was born on the street. Sometimes even dumped domestic cats that were dumped and were on the street for too long can even develop feral tendencies and feral behaviors. It's rare, but it actually has happened as well. So a feral cat is just a wild cat. It's not domesticated. It's not adoptable. So the only humane thing to do to combat the crisis so that these feral cats don't keep inbreeding, getting hurt, getting diseased, getting poisoned, getting illegally trapped and dumped somewhere, to just combat that crisis is to trap it, to spay neuter it, we flea treat it, we vaccinate it, and we release it after a proper recovery period right back to the exact spot that it was trapped in.
I remember you talking about that at the meet one time because you were saying that, like, when cats are removed from a certain area, yes, it becomes a vacuum.
Correct.
And now you have other cats who go, hey, listen, this is a pretty cool area. Correct. Let me move in here. And that multiplies the problem tenfold.
Correct. So we are seeing, and I, you know, like I mentioned that at the meeting, like you said, and because there are a lot of people who you know, can't stand the cats on their property. Oh, my neighbor's feeding cats and I can't stand it. What can I do about it? And then they go and they buy their own equipment and then they illegally, and yes, like there's laws and there's fines for this now for a reason. When you trap a cat and you legally dump it somewhere, it is the equivalent to me taking a child and just abandoning it in the middle of a mall or a field and just walking away. You know, these cats are born on this property and they're relied on getting fed by a human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these cats aren't hunting for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
They're not, they have no idea how to survive. Even though you can't touch them, you can't go near them, you know, they're relying on the human.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of cases when people remove illegally, we see unfixed new cats moving in, like you said, the vacuum effect. Mm-hmm. And we also usually find the cats that were dumped when they turn up in a nearby colony somewhere, we do find them deceased for two reasons.
Terrible.
Either they get hit by a car because they don't know the layout of the new lands that they got dumped in. Because when they're born on a property, they learn to know their neighborhood, you know? So when they get dumped somewhere else, they don't have no idea where they're going or where to look.
Mm.
So they get hit more, but also other cats in the neighborhood will actually beat them up.
Yeah, because they're territorial.
And they will reject them. Mm. And we do find that they, you know, the ones that were dumped don't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a huge topic at the meeting. But I was shocked at the town hall meeting. And I'm so glad that meeting happened. And I hope that I'm a part of more in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, you know, talk about dogs and talk about cats. But a lot of people don't talk about the feral cats. And a lot of people don't talk about the feral cat crisis on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be talked about. That needs to be discussed. You know, it's, you know, and it also so interesting that a lot of people who are in rescue, you know, like they're in a whole different part of rescue that they don't even hear about this stuff either.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that that was kind of a theme at the meeting, where when I was informing people about the crisis and the problems that we're facing here on Staten Island and in New York in general, right? Like the resources we're lacking and what we need and what we're fighting for and we're not getting heard. No one knew about it. No one knew about that stuff.
And it's sad because like people always have this tendency of going like, I want a pet. I want to be able to take care of one. And then sometimes when you have this issue of, I know you spoke about this at the meeting too, was the fact that people who don't have the ability to take a cat to a new location, like they if they rent an apartment and then they're like, oh, their landlord's cool with it. They live with family and no one really cares, you know? I know that like a big cause of dumping is because people can't bring cats into like a new apartment or something like that.
Correct. We're seeing a massive increase in landlords not allowing cats or dogs to come with, you know, to come with their owners. And I mean, it's astronomical now. It's like so unheard of, like how astronomical like that rate is. And that's part of the problem. So, and we actually just had our local animal shelter had to close for intake for a few weeks. They couldn't take any cats or dogs. So what happens to those people who, you know, are getting evicted? Or I hear it all the time, who are getting evicted or who have to move because of a family emergency and they can't take their pet with them. Okay, well, then what do they do with them?
Exactly.
Because, you know, the shelter is, you know, it's a city facility, you know, whereas us rescues, we're foster home-based.
Yeah.
You know, we can only rescue if we have a bathroom available or a garage available or a crate open because we have our own families at home. We have our own pets at home already.
Yeah.
Like we're using every crevice of our house to do rescue.
So I also noticed like another thing that you spoke about that was really big at this meeting was the shorthandedness of the responsibilities, but resources that are given to our lovely little island of Staten Island.
Yes.
So I noticed like a lot of places have like these like shelters where you can just like, you know, humanely like give an animal to and they'll help you out and, you know, or something like that. But in Staten Island, they had a lot of places cut back. Tell me more about that.
So in New Jersey, for example, and in other states as well, most townships offer free spay neuter programs.
Oh,
we don't have that. Why doesn't New York have that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just in New Jersey and in other states, you can just trap a cat on a whim and bring it in that day and they'll take care of it. Huh. Why? Like,
I didn't know that.
Why?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Some townships offer that. And it's mind blowing because it's like our shelter gets millions and millions and millions and millions. You know, I've heard different numbers. I have a ballpark around like 50 plus million, you know. I mean, why isn't the money being allocated to that program? And there actually used to be something called an SNR program at our local shelter.
What does SNR stand for?
Spay, neuter, return. Oh. So just like TNR.
Okay.
But they call it SNR because it's like their program. Gotcha. Their own program.
Yeah.
Why isn't it running anymore? You know, it's like these are questions we need these things to be highlighted. No one's talking about this. Like we need everybody to know. Like, you know, there's also something called the community cat program at the shelter. And you would think, well, feral cats are community cats. Like, why isn't the community cat program at the shelter assisting with like TNR programs or SNR programs for the community cats? If the program's there, why aren't we getting the services done? So, you know, during COVID too, we took a massive hit during COVID when the world came to a stop. Mm. You know, the ASPCA had to, you know, everybody shut down. Everybody came to a stop. But, you know, throughout COVID, some things never came back. So some of the things that never came back were we used to be able to get private transport trucks to our own homes.
Oh, wow.
Like I used to be able to if
pick
I
pick up this cat here this day,
I used to be able to like order in advance, like a mobile spay neuter truck.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
To my house, you know, a month in advance. And I used to fill it up. I used to tell whatever rescuers or trappers,
get ready for this.
Ready for this. Yeah. It's coming. Make sure you trap for it. And we all used to just go to my house or another rescuer's house. And we used to bang out 30 cats in one day, or we don't have that anymore. We also, we used to have a lot of downtown Brooklyn mobile trucks. Mm-hmm. So us Staten Islanders would just hop right over the bridge and go right back home. It was very quick and easy.
Yeah.
There's no more mobile trucks for any of the boroughs.
Was there like an organization that was in charge of these trucks? Was it like a certain like private entity or was it like a city?
It's just ASPCA. So we actually had two. We had the Toby Project.
Okay.
And
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. We used to have the Toby Project. We used to go to Brooklyn for. No longer exists. We don't have the Toby Project anymore. And the ASPCA, no more mobile trucks. So but Staten Island is the only borough who doesn't have an ASPCA clinic.
I remember you saying that.
Every borough has one. We're like
I don't understand.
We truly are the forgotten borough. Mm-hmm. And we have so much land here that can be created into into a facility.
Yeah.
Now the clinic, would that really be owned? Dumb. Again, I just want to make sure that everyone listening understands. Like, would that be owned by the ASPCA? Okay, so like they're a private entity, correct?
Yes, they are a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
They are their own, yeah.
Yeah, they're their own thing.
Yes.
Now, was there a person that you connected with there? Was there like a position that was cut? Did they make like a fundraising kind of like stoppage to this or?
You know, a mass staff shortage.
Yeah.
So there's also a vet shortage in the world, though. Like this is there's a mass vet shortage going on across the world.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think that.
Yeah, there is. So that's another problem. So like for example, at ACC, there was a time it might even still be happening. There was a time where there was only one vet once a week at our shelter.
Oh, wow. Oh, Lord.
And it's like, How can we get the animals getting spayed and neutered and up for adoption if there's only one spay day or one surgery day
a
week for all these animals coming in? So what's happening is, and this is actually current, when I go to the ASPCA to drop off cats for surgery, we see the ACC vans pull up, and the ACC is using ASPCA now too.
Oh, God.
I remember you saying this. Was this the thing about how people are not allowed to because the places that they're working for get contracts with people?
About transport?
No. But you said something a while back, like where we had the conversation. I think it was at the meeting. You said that they're not allowed to do certain work because the place that they work at has a contract.
Oh, the vets.
The vets.
He's talking about.
The vets.
That wasn't me. I believe that was another rescuer. That was the lady next to me. Yeah. She mentioned that. Yeah. I actually am not quite informed about that.
Yeah.
But her point to that was that a lot of practices are going corporate.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Also, that's what it was. Massive problem.
Yeah,
a lot of vet practices are going corporate, and they're losing touch with quality care.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's hard. I believe she said that.
I don't even know how do you even make that corporate something like that? Yeah. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah. So she was saying that the doctors can't work elsewhere, or can't do community service for a rescue, or can't if they're in contract with the corporation. Yeah.
Ugh, yeah, that's terrible.
But off of the resource thing, so because Staten Island doesn't have a clinic, we actually get a truck, and we didn't have a truck. We actually, the trucks got removed. So eventually, they came to the conclusion that Staten Islanders do need a truck. So now we get either one or two mobile trucks a month on Staten Island. But the thing is, it's still not enough to withhold the demand of spays and neuters that are needed on Staten Island. So what's happening is, ASPCA also actually used to do mobile trucks for pet owners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No more. So what's happening is, like, let's say I go to a spay neuter truck on Staten Island, and that's if you get a spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because how this works is, like, at the end of each month, I wake up, along with the thousands of rescuers in all of New York, in all of the boroughs, that we wake up, and it's like trying to get into a college course. So you go, you have to be TNR certified. You have to have an ASPCA account, which I'll get into that after that, because that got cut too. So you have to be TNR certified. You have to have an ASPCA account. And you wake up at, like, let's say 5:50 in the morning, and at 6 a.m. on the dot, on the ASPCA website, the spots just drop. For every borough. Right.
So everyone's, like, trying to get in there at the same time.
So you got to click. You have to, like, make sure. So every borough is color-coded.
Yeah.
So you have to, because you don't even have time to read. Like, you have, like, 30 seconds.
Click.
You
got
to click, enter in how many spots you get. And if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you don't get anything for a whole month. And if you don't get anything for a whole month, that's a lot more animals on the street giving birth during that time.
Yeah.
So I actually have, so for example, for the month of August, there were 1,894 appointments that went live.
God.
And I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Like, they're gone in 30 seconds.
That's what I believe.
They're gone in 30
seconds. Too, yeah.
And if you click the one, like, sometimes people think they're clicking for, like, Brooklyn, and then they could click Queens by accident, and then they're like, I can't use those because I don't live there. And they, like, you know, then you're screwed. For the month of August, there were 1,894 appointments for over 1,500 existing rescuers.
Oh, my God.
So if there's over 1,500 rescuers who have an ASPCA account, that's not including the ones that don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, yeah.
Wow.
That's just
so
people trying to
1,894 appointments.
My cousin told me about this, and then they try getting in, and then
it's not enough. Yeah. It's not enough.
And that's just over the whole entire city, correct?
Correct. That's for the boroughs. This is for the boroughs.
Yeah.
Wow. This is for the boroughs. So, one of the other resource problems that we're having, two actually, I'd like to really highlight. The first one is, if you, let's say you want to get TNR certified, and you're like, hey, I have a bunch of cats in my backyard and I want to be proactive in helping. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on to this website. It used to be ASPCA, the Mayor's Alliance, and Neighborhood Cats, Inc. All had TNR certification courses online. Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Wow. Only Neighborhood Cats has the certificate course right now. So you can get TNR certified for $10. It's a 3-hour online workshop once a month. Very easy to take. Mm-hmm. I encourage everybody, whether you plan on trapping or not, it gives you low-cost spay-neuter resources.
Okay.
And it gives you resources to borrow a trap from the trap bank, because in every borough has a trap bank you can borrow from. It's like you sign in, you sign out, you return it, you know. Even if you don't plan on actually getting, like, big into this like I am, I encourage everybody to just get TNR certified. Just to learn, just to have it. Because you never know. You never know when something's going to pop up on your property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're in an emergency. So once you get TNR certified, again, they're the only organization that has this now. So now you have to only go through Neighborhood Cats. And then once you do, back in the day, you would get an ASPCA account.
Mm-hmm.
Once COVID happened, the ASPCA suspended
new accounts. Ugh.
And they haven't allowed newly TNR certified people in 5 years. And there's thousands of people that got certified that want to trap and that want to help the crisis.
But they're just stuck in limbo.
So you basically can't. So even if you take the course, you can't even do anything basically with it.
Correct. So the only thing taking the course helps you with now is, let's say there are specific low-cost spay neuter clinics in Brooklyn, in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania. That certificate will still help you there, but the price difference is massive, is significant. So a lot of people even can't do that.
Yeah.
Because first off, now you have to transport. You got to find
Pennsylvania to
and
here.
Everybody pretty much works and has a job.
Yeah.
So how, if you have kids, if you have a full-time job, how am I supposed to get from Staten Island to Brooklyn for the ASPCA now, or to Queens for the ASPCA now, and I got to be at work on time, or I have to drop my kids off, or you know, it's so there's a lot of rescuers who can't do this, who can't help the animal population because there's so many roadblocks
and
in the way for
red
that.
Tape and hand tying, and that's horrible because now you have these people who sit there and say, hey, listen, let's make an organization to help animals.
Yes.
But then they put in roadblocks to be like, hey, listen, yeah, you
have to jump through so many.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have to sit there and wear the color red on top of the color purple in order to get in here today. And you're like, but this wasn't written down. It's like, hey, sorry, it's just our rules.
Yeah.
So this is all through what organization that, like, if people want to contact and try and, like, I don't know, motivate them through texts and emails and stuff like that? Like, who, like, what organization would they write to make this a little bit better?
Oh, the ASPCA.
ASPCA.
You have to write to the ASPCA and tell them, like, this has been so difficult on us to rescue.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. And, you know, the other problem is, like, so cost. So, for example, the ASPCA offers for us rescuers. This isn't for pet owners. This is just for feral cats. Mm-hmm. I want to be clear on that. For feral cats, you get free surgery and you get free vaccines. You pay for the extra stuff. You got to pay for, you know, blood work, microchips, flea treatment, cones for recovery. That stuff you have to pay for. But our basic surgery and vaccines for feral cats, for the work that we do, is free, right? When, let's say, you can't make an ASPCA account and you have to go to another vet in Brooklyn or Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you're looking at, for one feral cat who might get hit by a car tomorrow after they get surgery done, it's starting at $139 is the cheapest option for a male cat and $150 for a female cat. Some places are $147. We're looking at, you know, and so let's say somebody has a colony, you know, like you guys did of like 12, and you're like, hey, not only do I have my colony of 12, but I also have a pet that I'd like to also throw in there and get done. And I mean, over $1,000. And people don't have that. People don't have that. So we're in a massive crisis. And the other another roadblock that we're experiencing is, for example, you know, Gab offered to transport, which, you know, I'm so grateful for, because I mean, that is so necessary. Because like I said to her, when I need somebody to transport, it's because I have to be at a different vet in a different borough at the same time. And I can't find transport help. So, so for example, when she was like, hey, do you need me to drop them off to the ASPCA for you in Brooklyn one day? I had to tell her, you can't. You're not allowed.
It's crazy.
Because you have to have an existing ASPCA account. Not only that, you have, so for example, if another rescue has an ASPCA account is like, I can help you, I'm going that day, let me take one or two of your cats for you. They can't unless they're on my approved list in my portal. Even if we both have an ASPCA account,
that's a pain.
You have to be approved by that person. It's like almost like a Costco card. Like, I got a Costco card, but listen, I don't. You're not on the account, so you don't look like this person.
Yeah, it's stopping you from trying to help.
Yes,
it's ridiculous.
And so it's like, you know, so for example, when I log into my ASPCA portal, we have about 10, maybe plus 10 to 12 people that are got TNR certified and, you know, pre-COVID got the ASPCA accounts, and we added them under our rescue, right? Well, half those people aren't here anymore. They either moved
or passed on.
Yeah, something went on. Yeah, they're not here anymore, right? Yeah. So we're down to like these five nitty-gritty people on our list. And then the people that are on it also work full-time, so they can't transport anymore.
And
so
then you have to, on top of that, like you said, like the whole registration thing, it's been like 5 years.
Nobody can.
You can't even update it, I'm pretty sure. If you can't add people, like if you can't add new certified people for it, what's it called? You can't even like, hey, listen, I want to change this to like my brother or something. Like, sorry, we can't do that right now.
Correct. So we actually, myself, as well as many, 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 many other rescuers, have emailed the ASPCA and have contacted them and said, listen, so-and-so, like these five rescuers are no longer on Staten Island anymore. Can we, because we have newly TNR certified volunteers that are with us, that we trust, that are reliable, they're good to go. We're allowing them to do this for us. We're telling you, we'll let them transport for us. Can we take the people who are no longer here and just replace them? The answer was no. The answer was no.
Why? I don't know why they're making such a big deal out of that. Like,
it seems
you got the help. Why not let them help?
Yes.
It seems like to me that there's a, and the ASPCA can come into one of these chairs and tell me if I'm ever wrong about this, but it seems like to me that there is a level of work that needs to happen. And I'm pretty sure, and I'm not sticking up for anybody when I say this, but I'm pretty sure like it's something above them where it's like, we don't even have access. And I believe that's on a city side. Because like if you can't update something on your records, they're nonprofit, so maybe they have to go through the city. They have to have some sort of certification saying like these people that we train, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, during COVID, like maybe the program above them doesn't exist. But at the same time, they should be able to make some sort of negotiation with the agency that abides, that they abide by, if that makes sense, in order to make, hey, we have to make changes within our programs to better serve the needs that we are basically here for. And if anybody in ASPCA would like to sit down in this chair, please, I'm going to be sharing this everywhere. So come down and tell me why I'm wrong. And I think that you're not doing a good job at this because, listen, you got a lot on your plate. We get it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like when it comes down to the street level stuff, you guys are not doing your job at this. And I'll tell you right to your face if you want to come down here and talk about it. Let's talk about something else. I feel like you're definitely talking about a lot of good stuff that people don't know. So, I mean, definitely I'll put up like a couple of little QR codes here if you want to send me some links. That'll make it easy for people so they can scan it and put up stuff and donations and everything like that.
Yes, yes.
My thing is, so I know the story partially because we talked about it, but for the people who are not here, I always feel like the whole podcast here is about like, you know, how you enter something and like how you're nerdy about something, like something that you have a real passion about. Like if you have five different versions of yourself through your life, what's the one conversation that if you put you all together, what's the one thing that you could talk about? Tell me how you started with this. I like the story. I know part of it, but so tell me, how'd you start with this?
Okay, so I'm actually going to go even further than that first. And I'm going to tell you, so I was born into this.
I was born too. That's so weird. Weird.
I didn't have a choice. Yeah. So my whole family is rescue. I'm the crazy one who's on the street trapping and wrangling feral cats and getting yelled at by people to get off their lawn. But my dad, you know, my whole family, I'm the firstborn Staten Islander. My parents are from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Okay. And living in Brooklyn, I mean, my grandmother would just find stray dogs and keep them.
I love it.
My aunt would find a dog and kept it. Nice. You know, my whole family just like they were always loved animals, but they would always just find animals and just keep them.
That's what I did with her.
Yeah. Ta-da. I don't see an ear tip though.
Well, I tried, but she woke up.
He messed up.
I tried. She woke up. She started crying. I was like, all right.
Even my cousins adopted some dogs down from when Hurricane Katrina happened. Mm-hmm. You know, they have,
When I was back in 2005.
Yeah. They have, Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. What's, one of the major hurricanes that happened
Sandy?
To that then?
Oh, hurricane.
Down in the south.
Oh, down the south. Yeah. There was
the dog is maybe 5 years old.
There was one
old.
In Texas a couple years ago that wiped out Texas. Right. Hurricane starts with a T, I think. I can't remember. Well,
I can't remember.
One that happened about five years ago.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that destroyed Texas. Yes.
So, you know, they adopted from down there. You know, my whole family just lives and breathes it on both sides. On both sides.
Oh, that's great.
On both sides. Yeah. Cool, yeah, on both sides. This has been going on my mom's side, my dad's side since before I was even born. Everybody always had animals.
And I was
they
born
always
into this
lifestyle.
Yeah,
you guys have a knack for animals.
Yes, they just always saved animals or adopted animals from rescues.
That's awesome.
So, you know, so my aunt, actually, my mom's twin, does what I do upstate New York. But I didn't get into it because of her, which is funny. I actually didn't even know she did TNR work or she volunteers with the Humane Society.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know she was in the shelter. Like, I knew she rescued cats because she always had cats. Like, everyone in my family had dogs. She was the one person who always had cats. And she'd be like, yeah, I found a mom and a daughter in my backyard and they're mine now. Like, she always found them and
great.
Just saved them, you know, so.
Like Pokemon.
Yeah, she would just find them and save them. And
catching them all.
Yeah.
We'd have no room if we did that.
I know.
Yeah, please. Imagine if I kept all the ones I saved.
Oh, boy.
You know, I didn't even know she actually did it until I got TNR certified and I got into it. And then she was like, yeah, you know, I do that too. And I was like, why didn't you ever tell me that? Why didn't I know that? So, you know, my aunt's on, you know, very heavily involved in it as well. And, me and her actually trapped for my grandmother too in Brooklyn. We handle the Brooklyn, her Brooklyn neighborhood too. But how I really got involved into TNR, aside from, like, I always grew up with dogs. I always had a dog from a rescue. Well, how I got involved was I was working at a dance studio on Highland Boulevard for years, and my coworker was just like, there's a really sick kitten in the backyard. Aww. And I was like, okay, well, like, what are we gonna do about it? So, like, you know, she opened the door, and there was actually three little kittens. They looked back then. I didn't know the age, but now knowing, I would say maybe 4 to 5 weeks old.
Okay,
so they were really tiny, and there was two little girl calicos and one little orange tabby boy. And you know, she opens our backyard door. We had a like a deck and a shed in the back of the dance studio. And we opened the door, and the two little girls ran away and ran underneath the deck. And he was so sick, the little orange tabby, that his eyes were crusted shut. Aww. And he couldn't smell or hear and he just stood there with his eyes closed, like staring at us, like, like didn't even know we were in front of him. And I was like, oh my gosh, like if he runs out to the front of the building, that's Highland Boulevard.
Yeah, he's gonna get hit.
He's gonna get hit and killed. So I didn't know what to do. I wasn't a cat person. I was a dog person. Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know. I guess I'll Google. So I Googled Staten Island rescues, and I messaged like five that popped up on Google, and I messaged them on Facebook, and I emailed them, and no one responded to me except for an organization called Victory for the Voiceless. And she was just like, hey, yeah, like, you know, am I allowed to come, you know, into the dance studio? And I said, yeah, I'll tell you when I'm working. You can come in and do what you have to do. So she comes in. It's this, like, young woman, just comes through, plain clothes, and just with a trap. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know this was how it goes. And she actually didn't even show me how to use the trap. So she just set the trap. She, and she's going to laugh when she watches this. So she set it up, and we wound up catching, like, a big adult cat I've never seen before. So I text her. I'm like, hey, there's, like, just this giant cat in the trap. Like, I don't know, like, what do I do now? And she's like, I'm going to come to get it. And I'm like, okay. So she comes to get it, and I'm like, I don't know what she's going to do with it, but I trust her because she's part of this official organization. Yeah. So then she's like, okay, I took it. I left you another trap. Set the trap. And I'm like, how do I set the trap? So I go on YouTube, and I'm like, YouTubing, like, how to set a cat trap. So
Siri, how do I catch this cat inside this thing?
So I set it again. I caught another adult, and I'm like, who are you? I was like, I've never seen you before.
Force is strong with this one.
So I text her. I'm like, there's no kittens. This is another big ass cat in the trap. So she comes and gets it. And then finally we started getting the kittens. And so she says to me, she goes, you know, I did a walk around your dance studio around the blocks. And she goes, I found a cat colony. And I'm like, what's a cat colony?
It's like, did they wear, like, powdered wigs? Bum, bum, like, bum. Like, did they have red coats and muskets? Like, meows, meow, meow.
Like, they're a group just hanging out behind the dance studio, like, sounds gambling.
Sounds like a rap group.
I'm like, I'm like, what's a cat colony? And she's like, it's a group of cats that have a feeder. I'm like, what's a feeder? I'm not, you know, and she's just like,
well, oh, you'll meet them one day.
Yeah.
So, and she's like, you know, it's somebody who puts food. And she explained the whole thing, like, someone who leaves food out for them and might make makeshift shelters for them. And they stay there because that's how they eat and survive. And I'm like, oh, turns out. So I said to her, just because I'm an animal lover, and I said to her, well, you know, after we got the kittens, I go, do you need more help? And I did a fundraiser in my dance studio. Like, I put, like, a little box with the cat pictures on it, and then people donated because I said, you know, how much do you need? You know, I didn't realize how many cats we would be trapping. And so, you know, I did a little fundraiser for her. And then I said, you know, do you need more help? Because, like, I'd like to help if this is a problem on the streets. And she was like, we absolutely do. And she sent me the TNR certification link. Back in the day, it was in person. So I went down to St. George, the library, and I actually got certified in person.
Oh, wow.
They don't do it anymore. It's all virtual. It's easier for people, you know, and COVID and, you know, so everything changed.
So I know that, but it's actually weird that she says that about the library, because apparently someone told me, like, a while back, you can get your, like, your passport information done at a library too. Like, it handles, like, federal paperwork, apparently, because it's a federal building.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. So I never knew that. Like, that's pretty cool. You can do that at a library.
Well, there's rooms in the library that people rent out to, like, to do things.
Oh,
yeah.
To, like, hold. Yeah.
Shows how much we go to a library.
I know, right?
Yeah, I read.
I'm afraid, like, I'm going to walk in and be like, oh, Mr. Quinn, it's been 20 years. Yeah, really. You got the little engine of could, or we're going to have a problem?
You owe us this book, this book.
Yeah. But yeah, that's how I got involved in it. And it turned out that that one area that we did, I think we hit like 40 cats. My first TNR project was like 40 cats because it was that block. It was across the street. It was down that block. It was behind that block. And
those cats were living.
Oh, April from Victory for the Voices must have loved meeting me. I'm like, hi, I'm new. Here's 40 cats to help me with. You know,
this is the one that prophecy foretold.
Yeah. So April's been stuck with me for seven years. And she's become a very, very good friend of mine and a massive mentor. I mean, like, April is super young herself. I mean, you and April are the same age. I mean, she's so young, and she's been doing this since she was 13. And, like, I mean, she's been doing it in, like, everywhere, too, like Manhattan and Brooklyn. And she moved to Staten Island, so she's handling Staten Island now. And, I mean, she's so educated on just, like, everything. And, like, really, she, like, everything I experience in this field, whether it's a problem with a person, whether it's legal, whether it's trapping, whether it's medical, I mean, she's guided me. She's made me who I am today, honestly, because I wouldn't know anything without her guidance and that's without awesome. Her. Yeah, yeah. So
it's good to have someone like that because it helps, especially in situations like that.
Yes, yes. And she did, and everyone knows her as the person who always helps. I mean, she cleans up so many messes, and that's an understatement. And even messes that she doesn't need to help with.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's how I got involved in this, and they're doing very well. The kittens got adopted, and I'm actually friends with one of the little orange boys. He actually adopted another cat I rescued from me 2 years later, and I get updates of him. A former name is Derek, you know, so they all have different names now. But he's doing really well, and that's how I got involved in this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah, it's like the mafia, though. Like, once you get it, you're in, you can't leave. Yeah, once you rescue, that's it. You're done. You're in.
Bunch of cats.
Once we started with two cats, and now look what we got.
Yeah.
Swell.
So, our cat, our
four
first,
of our own.
our first cat, Squishy, we got her because my friend Jessica, she was having problems with the ones that she just grabbed. And she gave him homes, and she had one cat already, and she got in a brother and sister. The brother was fine, but the sister and the first cat were not getting along, so she's like, hey, do you want a cat? And at the same time, I was like...
it was Squishy, our cat was the feisty one.
Let me tell the story. So, what's it called? So, I was like, we always talked about, like, you know, like, she's home by herself. I was living in my old apartment before we had the house, and I was like... I went to go home, and I went to go beat her home. I was like, hey, but I noticed like she was getting home quicker than me.
You
I was like,
not beat me home.
I go, hey, listen, do me a favor, go get paper towels. She's like, I didn't hear back from her. I was like, she's getting paper towels. She's like, I'm home. I'm like,
no, you asked me to get food.
Yeah, food or paper towels, and paper towels actually.
Food or paper towels. And I just got out of work, and I was like, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to just go home.
So I got home, and I had the cat in a case, and I'm like, I put it on the counter, like. Here, I got you a cat. Listen, you screwed it up.
It was for your birthday.
It was for your birthday, whatever. And she's like, you didn't get me a cat.
Yeah. I didn't believe him. I saw the carcass. I'm like, where is there a cat in it? Because she's black, right?
Yeah, she's so tiny.
She was a kitten. You didn't even see the eyeballs.
Her spot, her blonde tan spots weren't noticeable. Yeah. Like she was a baby. So I look in the thing. I'm like, where is there? Oh my God, there's a cat.
And she's like, really? This is for me? And she's like a kid on Christmas.
Yeah.
So then our other cat.
It was the best gift ever.
Yeah. It really was. So then they just kept coming. Yeah.
So once you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
So our second cat, Rocket, and I'll tell you about her names too. Like our names because Squishy is because I go to the vet and like we just didn't give her a name. And I was like, she is. The vet asked me, like, oh, what's the cat's name? I'm like, she is. My Squishy. Yeah. She's going to be mine. She's going to be my little Squishy. Yeah. And that's how we got
that's it. That's how we got it.
Second cat, Rocket, we were like, oh, we should try and get another cat. And then literally like 4 days later, somebody, we're thinking about the idea. It was a month later. No, I'm talking about 4 days after we were talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
So like a couple days later, we're talking about it. And I'm like, all right, we'll see what we can do. And then like 4 days later, if somebody hits me up, he goes, hey, listen, I got a whole bunch of cats that I'm, like my cat just gave birth and we're just going to get rid of them. We're moving to Chicago. We can't take them with us. It was the guy.
Rocket was found on the porch.
Yeah, they were. He found them underneath the porch.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
So it was his cat in his backyard. Gave birth to our cat Rocket. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll let me go take
cat
a look.
Distribution.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So now I look at him, and he looks like a raccoon. He looks like a baby raccoon.
He was so fluffy. But he looked,
I love when they have the hairs.
It was static electricity almost. It was so cute.
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, cool. Our third cat. Because he looks like a raccoon, that's why we named him Rocket. So,
but from what movie?
Rocket, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, So that's what we named him from, because he looked like a raccoon. So I was like, all right, cool. So our third cat was Mandy.
Yeah.
It was her best friend's mother, found the cat on the street in the rain, and she nursed it. And
she nursed it back.
She's like, I can't take care of it. It's like, you guys want it. And I just kind of went, three.
So what's one more?
So it's like, what's more, Chip, right? So I go, all right, cool. Like, you know, like, we'll give it a name. And at the time, we're watching Mandalorian. We love the show. So I was like, oh, we got told it was a boy. So we're like, oh, we'll name it Mando. And I was like, okay, cool. She's like, all right, I love the names you come up with. I was like, all right. So then also we find out it's a girl. So like, Mandy.
Just changed it around.
Like I said, we got Merlin. I'm like, is now Merlina.
So the fourth one was, we did find an outdoor cat name. We called it Ariel because we found out, you know, it was a girl. And she didn't make it because she already had like a whole bunch of birth problems and everything. She was abandoned.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we tried taking care of her and she just didn't make it. It was unfortunate. So we're all just depressed about it. And we're like, oh, you know, we're just going to move forward. We'll be okay. We buried Ariel in the backyard and it was somber. It really hurt. It really hurt. And people don't realize, like, people think
it was
like
tough one because we bottle fed it.
Yeah, we bottle fed it.
Like literally bottle
fed
it.
When you put all that work and all that.
It's not just the work. It was the love that we were it was so happy. It was like, we're gonna get this cat got abandoned. It's just like Mandy.
But you know what? You have so much hope that it makes it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it's yeah.
We did our best.
She passed.
The best couple of days.
We took it to the vet. So. They were like, I'm sorry, aspirated.
Yeah.
So we were down in the dumps. I was going to go pick up a thing of wrestling gear from my friend. And what's it called? Which I still didn't pick up because he's actually.
Cat distribution again.
Cat distribution system kicks up again. Yep. It knew we're in the area. Yep. We got a ping.
Yep.
So we're like, oh, it's one of the Quins. He's the weak one. So I go to CVS. He's like, yo, if you just get me like some drinks or something like that, we'll just hang out for a little bit. I was like, all right, cool. So I go to like, he just wanted like a water and whatever. So I go inside CVS and I see these two guys walking up to each other, like, you know, like shaking hands, like they're meeting for something. Doesn't ring a bell. It's just something I observe. So I walk back out and I see the guys, like, they're not arguing, but like, oh, but I wanted that one. But yeah, I wanted this one. I can't take that one. It's like, blah, blah, blah. So this guy basically was giving, he was meeting up two guys to give two different cats. Mm-hmm. But the guy screwed up and he accidentally gave the cat to two people. He promised the cat to two different guys. Mm. So one of them was like, oh, I wanted this cat because our cat passed away. It was the same colors. I want to give it to my wife to kind of be like, oh, we can start over again. And the cat's like about maybe 3 weeks old, about 3 months old, 4 months old, whatever. And he was like, I can't take this one. It's like, this is what my wife wanted. I'm sorry. He goes, it's all right. Don't worry about it. I see him like, just, oh. And I literally just go, I realize what's happening. And I'm like, hey, bro. I just turn and stop. And I'm like, hey, bro, what's going on? And he goes, yeah, it's like I'm just trying to meet these guys, trying to give away these two cats, but they both wanted the same one. The first guy who got here, I gave it to him. I think that was the right thing. It's like, I just can't return home because we found these cats and like I can't keep them. And I go, it's like we got the shots and everything like that. We're like, all right. He's like, oh, I'm not too sure, you know. It's like, I was like, I'll take it.
It's mine.
I was like, I goes, what? And he looked at me completely crazy, like,
I got a phone call about it. What? I'm like, all right.
So I'm like,
and also thank God it ended up with you guys because, as you know, a lot of times with these situations,
release.
They end up with really bad people with bad intentions or who have no business taking on another animal because they can't care for it properly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So thank God, like, you got it because a lot of times people put too much faith into humanity, and I'm sorry to say it, but
humanity fails.
Being in the rescue field, it's about 90% of people not doing the right thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad thing because, like, I mean, people always look at animals and they just kind of dismiss it, whatever. But I feel like if you didn't grow up in animals, you don't really have that love. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
It's sad because, I mean,
it's also an educational thing.
Like, it is.
I meet a lot of people who were honest with me, and I can't even believe they were honest with me, that would say, hey, you know, can you help me spay my cat or can you help me spay my dog? Because my first cat or my last dog died from pyometra because I didn't spay it.
Yeah.
And I just want
to,
like,
people don't realize how important it is to spay and neuter animals.
And I like almost lose it because pyometra is such a deadly, like, painful
death.
Yeah, infection that female cats and dogs get when they're not spayed. And it's totally avoidable. By just spaying. And then when people are honest with me and they're like, yeah, it died because I didn't spay it on time. And I'm like, I've rescued cases like that. One of them, unfortunately, did not make it because she was neglected for way, way too long before I rescued her off the street. But usually the pyo cases we get when they have pyo, they'll just, you know, get the proper care they need during a spay. They'll get spayed and they'll get cleaned out and the antibiotics and all that right then and there. Because it's very, very serious. But I mean, like, I mean, again, like people just, this is part of the problem. This is why we're in the overpopulation crisis, is because people do just find animals and just give away like candy.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they don't know what to do.
The honor system with humans isn't good to rely on. Like, you know, because thank God you guys are wonderful people and you did the right thing by your, by her, you know, and like, because there's some people who usually.
Crazy little kitty.
Yeah. She's so great. But like, there's people who will use them as bait.
For dog fights and your training. And that's horrible.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that happens all the time in the Bronx and in Brooklyn. Yep. And I mean, rescuers are seeing it constantly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Terrible. Yeah. Thank God that you got her. Yeah.
She's a fluffy little fluff. She's getting big, too. We noticed she was going to be big. She got a lot bigger, right?
She did.
She got
and
long.
She has that long tail, so she's going to be.
She's going to start gaining weight, I think, later on. Not yet. Later on.
Yeah. Slim still.
I think she's going to be. I think her and Rocket are going to be around the same size. I think
she saw Rocket today.
Yeah,
Rocket's been the first one.
I don't think
Rocket's
she's a big boy.
No.
Not weight wise. Not his genetic,
a length.
Yeah.
I think she's gonna be long. I don't think she'll be as long as him. I think she's squishy.
Yeah.
I think she's gonna be long like him.
Like, no.
She'll be skinny. She'll be skinny.
We'll see, man.
Can we play? We should do bets on
this. What's the over under?
Cat Ben.
Yeah.
Draft Meow Kings.
Yeah, really.
Oh, that needs to be a thing.
That needs to be a thing. Like, how much is this cat going to eat today? How many times is my cat going to throw up after eating?
How many times is Domino going to go after the fly?
Oh,
how many
God.
Times is Domino going to jump Mandy from the friggin' top of the fridge? God.
Like WWE. She,
literally.
I'm a bad
she
influence.
She watches Daddy too much.
I'm a bad influence on those animals,
hysterical.
Man.
That's
it's
hysterical.
Funny because, like, it's funny, like, for, like, we try and keep up with her nails. Like, we always, like, you know, cut their nails all the time and everything. But it's just funny because we're like, is she just annoyed or is she just, like, actually hurting her with her nails? Because, like, she'll jump on Mandy and be like, hey, what's up? Meow.
Yeah.
It's so funny, too, because, like, she's so inquisitive. But it's like, she's like, hey, Mandy, I want to play catch. Mandy's like, get the F away. Right. Yeah. She's like, okay, I love you, too.
She's the young one. She's the young, spunky one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
she is.
She's dope. We have a beach ball that we inflated, and we just, like, kick it, and she'll just, like, jump right at it.
Yeah. She's the character. She really is.
She is.
She's such a character.
She's such a purr machine, too. Like, she'll come right up next to you and just, like, purr.
She purrs constantly.
And it's funny, too, because, like, she's starting to learn how to do the things that Mandy does, like jump on top of the armoire, jump on top of the freaking door.
She teaches the best stuff, too.
Yeah, I know.
I saw her before. She steals the sponges.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, I have to hide my sponge. I got to hide the sponges.
She almost stole the mustache.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to tell her. Like,
she almost stole the mustache.
Oh, she loves them. Like, I'll have them all over the house and everything like that, except for this one because it's completely
them,
real.
She'll go run around the house with them.
Yeah.
I'm like, get back here with that.
I'll have, obviously, this one's completely real. So, what's it called? She'll sit there and take all the, like, the apparently fake ones we have for some odd reason around the house.
I keep them. Yeah.
So, she'll come up and just be like, meow. Like, she's, like, playing fetch. So, like, with Mandy, it's like the darts.
Oh, yes. The Nerf
bullets. It's a hair ties.
Hair ties and squishy.
Rocket-like
strings.
Rocket-like strings,
yep.
Yeah. It's
Rocket
like they're all individual.
They all have
things.
Their own personalities.
Exactly.
They really do. They really
they
do.
They all hate the laser pointer, though. They all just like...
They're like, no. Yeah. That's reminding me of a rave, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had some bad catnip back in 05, man.
Yeah. What about your feral cats? About all...
They're doing good.
All of your feral cats.
Oh, boy. Those feral cats are tight. They
so
love me, actually. Yeah. I have my tail tip girl.
Cloudy.
Who, unfortunately, we're Cloudy, we call her, because she's gray and white.
Yeah.
She's lovey-dovey. She literally opened that back door to feed them. She comes right up, meows at me, sniffs my hand, let me pet her. I was like, oh, I love this.
And it's funny because, like, I told her about this when they were kittens. They had, I give them all names. And it's like, I call one Yankee and one Charlie because, like, one has a Y on his back and the other one has a C on his back. It was clear as day when they were younger.
Black and white?
Yeah, the black and white.
White.
So they look like,
funny.
But now that they're a little bit elongated, the C kind of looks like a reverse J. It's like kind of weird. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, what type of Russian
like,
letter?
We're going to mess with you.
Yeah.
No, but ever since you brought them back and they've been neutered and whatnot, they've been great. They're so much calmer.
Yeah.
They run around. They're actually a little more friendly with each other, I feel like.
Yes,
so
yes.
It definitely helped.
Yeah. So I wanted to get into that little TNR process a little bit. Since you guys, I mean, nobody usually, you know, sees what I do, especially you came with me to do Brooklyn runs. Mm-hmm. And you saw me, like, you were up bright and early with me one morning to see what I did.
5:45.
Yes. And
5:45.
We transferred the cats out.
Not
of
a Gabby time. Not an approved Gabby time.
No, it's not a me time either.
I mean, my times are all over the place.
This is the only way I'll do it is for the animals. Like,
yeah.
It's just for the animals.
Yeah.
You know, you.
Hey, babe, come pick me up from the airport. Yeah. Like,
bye. Yeah. Cat neuter surgery. I'll be there.
I got you.
Get your shoes on. We're going for a ride.
Yeah. We're going to be in a car with 10 other cats, you know, pooping and peeing. Yeah.
Okay. And meowing. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's like her fix, though. Like when she sells the little kittens, it's like her little kitten fix.
Yes.
I love the animals.
Because it's like you can still help and see cuteness without, So, I mean, you came to my house and you watched me transfer all of the cats from the big traps into transfer traps because, the smaller traps, the more I can pile into my car. Mm. So we put them into the transport traps, had to go to Brooklyn, come home, did our daily thing, and then met up again a few hours later, went back to pick them up. And then once I got home, had to make multiple drop-offs because I had some pet owner cats that I helped with. But for your backyard, I mean, the reason why we got your yard done so quickly and so like 1, 2, 3 is because honestly, you guys cooperated.
Yeah.
Like, and I also worked, it wasn't just Victory for the Voiceless, it was actually Strays Hope for Life that also assisted me with this by giving me their ASPCA appointments as well. So shout out to Strays Hope for Life and Reefery, because this was a joint kind of operation for you guys.
Yeah.
So,
it was a lot of cats.
Yeah, it was
a lot of cats.
I didn't realize it was that many.
Yes, yes. And you know, a lot of people don't because sometimes like people, they'll have 8 black cats and like maybe like 5 gray tabbies and they think, oh, maybe I only have 2 black cats and like 1 gray tabby.
They'll see one
like,
during the course of the day.
Yeah. So, you know, we did 12, but the reason why it got done so quickly is not only because the rescues offered the ASPCA appointments and we had it lined up perfectly to get them done, but, you know, Lisa also helped me with recovery because I can't possibly do all 12 in one sitting by myself. So me and her split the recovery. And I mean, you guys cooperated because sometimes there's people who do not cooperate and you have to withhold food in order for me to trap.
Yep.
If you're feeding them, they're not going to go into the trap.
Yeah, no.
You know, so because you guys literally just, you trap trained them, you withheld food, you did, and you cooperated and you helped. I mean, because we all worked together. We got them all done. And within 2 weeks, that's unheard of. 12 cats in 2 weeks.
We got five in one shot in one day.
We did.
It was, I was so shocked that we got that many in one shot. And I was wow.
And this is like a really important story that I want people to hear on this podcast because it's like, when you work together and you listen and you cooperate, you can get it done. Like, you don't have to be by yourself.
You have to work together in that
kind of
setting.
I can't understand somebody being counterproductive to the end result that the cat's getting fixed. So it's like, I
just experienced it last night. I have a woman who has a mother cat and 2 kittens in the yard, and she does not want me coming to trap them. She is totally fine with those kittens growing up and mating their mother and reproducing and inbreeding.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
She's willing to help too, and I'm like, why would you not want the help? Like,
it happens more than you think, unfortunately, and which is why we have the overpopulation crisis.
And here we are. We are at the end of the episode, so give me all the socials. We're gonna put them all up here, nice little tags and everything like that.
Good.
Anything you want people to understand, like fundraising sites? I'm gonna put everything up.
I was gonna say the fundraiser coming up.
We do. We actually have a fundraising event. Let me pull up.
I'll put up a poster. Give me the poster.
Yes, I will.
There's 2 different ones.
We have a few. Yes.
Give me all of them.
We have here. We have a fundraiser at Showplace Entertainment. It's All Bowl, No Bite on Thursday, September 18th. It's sponsored by the Wednesday Night Double Leagues. And it says here, our mission is to provide complete care for abused and abandoned dogs and cats, from rescue to medical care, rehabilitation, and placements in forever homes. You can donate supplies at that event, such as food, wee-wee pads, paper towels, disinfectants, garbage bags. Walk-ins are welcome. And for any large parties, you can call the number that's going to be on the flyer. And then we also have a massive, massive one. We have this one every year in the fall. This is our biggest event. It's September 20th at the Hilton Garden Inn. That one's going to be huge. And the baskets that we have that we're raffling off are fantastic.
So what time does this benefit start on the 20th?
Let me get that flyer up. I have like a whole slew of flyers.
12 to 4, I read it.
She knows more than I do.
It's a brunch. It's got... Got my Moses.
It is. There's going to be a DJ. There's going to be a photo booth. There's, I want to say, maybe like 70 raffle baskets, give or take. Like, there's going to be, you're right, 12 to 4.
Yep.
There's going to be 50-50. There's actually a massive luxury travel raffle as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you actually get to pick if you want to do the Vegas one, the Hawaii one, that like you get to choose which. Yeah, yeah. So
yep.
there's some. Cool. Yeah, so it's going to be huge, and we're actually honoring some wonderful doctors that we work with, such as Mid Island Veterinary Practice, Staten Island Veterinary Group, and Faithful Friends Animal Hospital, who's actually going to be seeing one of your one of your cats for the prolapsed rectum that we have.
Yeah. Booty.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so give me the Instagrams, give me the Facebooks, give me everything that you have.
Sure. So on Facebook, you can just search up Victory and the number 4, Victory 4, the Voiceless Animal Rescue.
It's like on a shirt or something, right?
Actually, you know what?
Right? Are those T-shirts?
Looky here.
Are those T-shirts for sale?
Actually, that's something that I'm going to be getting into in the future.
All right.
So that is coming. We don't have apparel yet, but that's something that I will be working on in the future.
Okay.
We do want to do an apparel fundraising type thing.
That'd be great.
The Instagram is a little bit longer. It's victory_4. That's the number 4, _the_voiceless. You can also just search V4V Animal Rescue, and it should pop up as well. And on those social media accounts, we also have a website. So if you just Google Victory for the Voiceless Animal Rescue, you can see our website. We have Cash App, Zelle, Venmo, PayPal.
And it's all Victory for the Voiceless,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So if they put in Victory for the Voiceless on those things, they'll
it'll
all
pop up.
Yeah. You just have to be careful because all of us, a nonprofit organization, Rescues, have been realizing that there's someone who's making Venmos.
Fake ones.
Oh, boy. So, for example, on Venmo, right, it's Victory for the Voiceless, and the scam account has a third S on the end. So you gotta watch. So I highly recommend going to our website or going straight to our Instagram and Facebook to actually get the direct link to donate instead of just kind of searching it on your own.
Gotcha.
In case.
Gotcha.
Because there are some scams going on.
Well, I'm gonna have all the QR codes that I can put up. You just give me to the links. I'll put up the QR codes here. People can screenshot it, get another phone, scan it. You can hold down to it, whatever. Taryn, thank you for coming in today. It's been a great episode.
Right. Thank you for giving the animals a chance, a voice and a chance to be talked about.
Of course.
And meow for the animals.
Yes.
Meow for the animals. Because this is a cause. I mean, normally we do like movies and TV shows and other types of stuff. We had the game show episode last week, which was pretty fun. We did. I mean, it's close to the season finale. We always end up with Comic-Con, which is coming up very soon. So
yes, that's right.
I think I have like another 2 more episodes to go, and then it's down till January, which is really crazy. Season 2 is almost in the bank, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 14. I want to say thank you to my guest, Taryn, for coming down. It's been an honor to have you. Anytime, if you have any other people who want to come down, and we could talk. We could definitely talk. I could do special episodes. I don't care. I'll just come down and get the studio. But for like the whole canon purposes, I'm glad I got you in for an actual episode so we can actually talk.
Yes. Super happy we did this.
Yeah, exactly. So the fundraiser is going to be the 18th and the 20th.
Yes.
Again, anytime you have anything, shoot it down here. I'll put it up on the podcast for the next couple episodes. I'll put it up on our Instagram and TikToks and all that other beautiful social media that we have. Definitely, I mean, if you're doing fundraisers too, like hard to hand, I would say definitely make more of those boxes and put them around place. Like, I mean, I don't know if you still have
even teachers. Teachers sometimes with their students that we actually have teachers bring in their classes to our adoption center, and they bring things like food, wee pads, things like that, and they actually meet the kittens and the cats in our adoption center and get some time with them, so they see who they're helping, they see who they're benefiting, and it's so much fun for kids to play with them and have a good time with them. And
that's awesome.
So teachers can even put donation boxes in their school, do a bake sale for us. I mean, even just corporate offices could, if you want to put a box for us or a little donation. But I mean, there's so many things that people can do to help out. So
absolutely glad you came down. Thank you for coming. You thanks for showing up.
Whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 14 is in the bank. We did it. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we nailed it. We're going home. Check the gate. We're done. Woo! We're done. Wrap, call and wrap. Good job, everybody.
That was great.
Fun. That was great.
I like yapping.
Yeah.